You know, it's been exciting to me when I was asked to do these every other Wednesday night. You know, I didn't know exactly where to go, but it was like the Lord dropped something into my heart about internalizing the Word. And so we've been going there, and like I explained on one of the messages that we were talking about going on one of these interpretive trails where you discover some things. Well, there's something over here. Well, there's a sign here and stuff that you learn a little bit about this, and you go a little further, and there's another sign that explains about this over here and everything. And it's almost been like it's been that kind of experience almost with me as we've been going along. And I just think, the Lord, for what He's shown me and helped me. And I look to Him tonight. Father, I thank You for sending the teacher, the Holy Spirit, to us. Thank You for teaching me. Thank You for enabling me to teach others. And Lord, we're trusting in Your grace. We're trusting in Your power. We're trusting in Your anointing tonight. We're trusting, Lord, that Your Word will come alive, that it won't be just words, but it will be words of life, not words of death. And Father, I just commit our ways tonight into Your hands, and I pray that You will have Your will done and that You will accomplish Your purposes tonight. And Lord, I will faithfully do, I will give, Lord, that which You have given to me. And I thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I think it's very, very important, and it's been a part of this whole series of messages about the importance. You know, we have the Word of God, and the Word of God is marvelous. It's mighty. It's powerful. But we need the living Word down inside of us. And so how do you get that? Well, you get that by reading the Word, allowing the Holy Spirit to quicken it to us, to bring life to us. And as He does that, it's like we grow then. And we're going to find some more about that tonight as we go. We've been looking at the importance of knowing God and hearing His voice and following His directions. And we need to be feeding on God's Word and staying prayed up. Isn't that an important thing? We need to be prayed up. We need to be feeding on God's Word. We need to obey His Word. And walking with Him is not something that we can really do in our own strength. It's impossible. I cannot be a Christian without His help, without His strength. I can't. Maybe you can. I don't know, but I can't. I need His power. I need His strength to help me to walk. Jude, verse 20 and 21, says it this way. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So how do we get built up? We build up by prayer. Praying in the Holy Spirit. There's something about praying in the Holy Spirit that brings life. One of the reasons is because when you're praying in the Holy Spirit, you're praying a direct prayer that comes from heaven. You're praying God's exact perfect will that you're praying about. For us to do that in English or just in our natural language, God might give us something, you know, that's really pretty good, that we should be praying for this. But when it comes from heaven, when it comes through the Holy Spirit, I believe there's a power there, there's an anointing there, there's something that happens, and it literally comes from God through us, it is spoken out through our mouths, and it becomes life out there. And that's very, very important to us. So we need to build ourselves up in our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, and keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So how is it with you? Are you struggling to get to know God better, to hear His voice. How hungry are you for that to happen? I'd like you to turn to Jeremiah chapter 29, beginning with verse 10. Jeremiah 29, beginning with verse 10. It says, "For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place." Now, what had happened? Judah went astray, went running after other gods. God sent them into Babylon as slaves. You know, God's always going to discipline us. Did you know that? When we step out and get out where we don't belong, God has a way of working out things to where we end up coming back to Him. We can go through some stuff that isn't pleasant for us to go through. And we can praise God for that. We can thank God that He just doesn't let us go and let us run and do our thing, you know, and everything's well. No, God loves us. And He gave His only begotten Son for us, so that we might come to Him and have fellowship with Him. And He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So God is not going to leave a person out of the will of God. He's not going to leave him. He's going to come and He's going to bug him. He's going to do whatever He has to do to get us back where we belong. And so it goes on. He said, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." They had to go to Babylon. They had to suffer there 70 years. And when the 70 years was up, God was going to bring them back into the land. And He said, "I know the thoughts that I think toward you, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and to give you a hope." And God wants to do that with us today. He wants to give us a future. He wants us to have peace. He wants us to have a hope. And God will do that, and He will bring that to pass. He says, "Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I've driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive." So what does it mean when you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart? You know, not always I have been had a trouble finding getting a hold of God sometimes. And I found out sometimes, you know, we knock on the door and say, "God, are you there? Can I talk with you today?" You know, and everything. And it's like sometimes it's like brass. It's like we're not making the connection. We wonder, where is God? What is going on here? Well, let me tell you something. When you seek Him with all of your heart, hallelujah, when you seek Him with all of your heart, what does that mean, with all of your heart? Well, I can think of some people maybe, and me in the past, where, okay, God, I'm okay with this, but I really don't want to go here. I don't really want to do this particular thing, you know. So, is that all in my heart? No, I'm holding back something, aren't I? I'm holding back something. I'm not really turning loose. Am I willing to turn myself completely over to God? I believe God sometimes makes it at least seem like it's a little bit hard to get through to Him, because He wants to find out how determined we are. And sometimes, you know, we need to really get determined. I'm going to seek God, and I'm going to find Him no matter what it takes. I'm going to seek Him until I'm going to beat on heaven's door until He answers me. And that's the kind of thing that He's really looking for. That's what he's really looking for. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. I will be found of you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. If we've gone astray a little bit, and God has allowed some things to happen in our lives that we don't really like the position that I'm in, I don't like this place that I find myself in, when we seek him with all of our hearts and with all of our souls, he will deliver us and he'll bring us back to where we were. He'll bring us back into right standing with him, into right relation with him, that we can have the peace of God in our hearts. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I'll gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you. And I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive. Proverbs 8:17 says it like this. I love those who love me. And those who seek me diligently will find me. The word diligent there means showing perseverance and application in whatever is undertaken, or pursued with painstaking effort, being persistent. Remember the story about the little lady that lost a coin. I mean, that meant a lot to her because she didn't have a lot of money. And so what does she do? She was diligent. She searched the house carefully. She swept the corners out. She dug through everything until she found that coin that was lost. And that's kind of like what it's talking about. Being diligent. Hallelujah. Showing perseverance. Pursuing with painstaking effort. Persistent. I'm going to find God whatever it takes. I want him in my life. I want the power of God there. And I'm not going to give up until I get it. That's what God's looking for. He's looking for a heart like that. Peter had to learn the truth about himself and realize that he couldn't make it in his own strength. In Luke chapter 22, verses 31, 32, the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith would not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. It's like Jesus knew he was going to return. He knew he was going to return. Peter had to go through a thing. He had to learn his lesson that he was not self-sufficient in himself. He could not do this rock by himself. He needed the power of God. He couldn't rely on what he had done in the past. He couldn't rely on his own strength, his own ability, because his own ability was not going to be enough for the task. And what Peter was going to be going through after Jesus left, it would take the power of God in his life in order to bring him through. And Satan asked that he might sift you as wheat. I believe God has been sifting some people here in this church too, been sifting some people here. But Peter learned his lesson, and he repented and learned to put his trust in Christ. He became a mighty apostle, and he preached a strong message on the day of Pentecost in which 3,000 souls were saved. That's pretty powerful. Hallelujah. You don't want to be double-minded. You don't want to be double-minded. I believe our church is going through a time of shaking, even now. And some may be shaken out. It's an unfortunate thing. We need to pray for people. We need to pray for our body. But some will get shaken out. And only those who remain will move on to a higher level. God's wanting to take us to a higher level. He's wanting to make us more like Jesus. He's wanting us to have a more effective witness out there in the world. And so there is a shaking going on, and he's going to move people up to a higher level who have been faithful to Him. It's time to pray for others and persevere in our walk with Him and allow the Word to produce a true Christian who demonstrates to the world a true picture of Jesus Christ. We are the only demonstration this world will see concerning the kingdom of God. And there are those out there who are portraying a false Jesus and leading people astray. I remember years ago I went through a leadership training, and I never even thought about it. But with other people's insight and everything, I found out that I was a leader, just like a whole lot of other people were leaders. They were leaders. And the people were going to watch you, and they were going to follow your example. They're going to watch you, and they were going to follow your example. And when that revelation came to me, I determined that I was going to do everything in my power to present the right kind of lifestyle before them that they could follow, that it wasn't leading them into something else. Because let me tell you something. You are going to lead someone somewhere. People are going to watch your lives, and they're going to be affected either for good or for bad. So I determined in my life I was going to try, with everything that was in me, I was going to try to live a lifestyle that would lead people the right direction and not the wrong direction. All of you are leaders. God's made all of us leaders. So we must continually be developing a deep relationship with Christ to be able to show the world who Jesus is. And to accomplish this, God gave us help. Gave us help. Ephesians 4, verses 11, starting with verse 11. Ephesians 4, 11. And He Himself, which is meaning God, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and teachers. Why? For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, and that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, in cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. That's a big, big thing there. That's mighty there. So He gave gifts of men. We have gifts of the Spirit. We have gifts of the Spirit. Tongues is a gift of the Spirit. Prophecy is a gift of the Spirit. Gifts of healing, all these different gifts. But these are gifts of men that God gave to the church. Why? Because Jesus isn't here now. He's seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And so what He has done, He's given us shepherds down here on this earth. We have a shepherd that is here in this church. Okay, so this shepherd that He's given here is here in place of Christ, in the sense that He's doing what Christ has asked Him to do, to be a shepherd to this flock. Does that make sense? And there are some people out there that aren't really doing that good a job at that. There's a lot of churches out there in the world where the shepherd that has been put over the flock has been leading the people astray. And they're portraying a false Jesus. They're portraying a false Jesus. But he's given apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Okay. This is what Jesus has given. The Father actually has given these gifts to the church. Has given these gifts of man to the church. And if he's given these gifts of man to the church, and Christ is the head over all things to the church, and Christ is the true shepherd that is the leader or whatever over all these under shepherds. So if the shepherd senses, you know, when Pastor Keith preaches, he's preaching the Word of God that God has given him. You agree with that? Yes. He is preaching the Word of God that God has given him. So him being a shepherd to us is just like to obey him is, in that sense, obeying Christ. As long as he is walking in right standing with God and following the Word of God and doing what he has been called to do, it's just like Jesus himself is standing there and we've got our marching orders. Comes from there. And it's not something that we can say, well, he's just a pastor. I don't think it's really important to do this. I don't think it's really that important to do that. It's not that big a deal. Yes, it is a big deal. Because he's following Jesus. And he's doing what Jesus wants him to do to bring us into alignment and to prepare us for what God has called us to do. And if we disrespect him, if we don't follow him, well, then I've got to put the question out there. Are we then following Jesus? It's something we need to think about. If we won't follow him when he's doing what God's asked him to do for this body, then, and we're not willing to follow that, then we are not following Jesus either. We're not. Because we think what we know is more important and better than what he's asking us to do. I know this is a difficult thing maybe. But why? Equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So that's what the goal is. The goal is to make us more like Christ. Make us more like Jesus. Hallelujah. It's important to be more like Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is up there at the right hand of the throne of God. And how can the world find out about Jesus when he's up there and we are the ones that are down here? We're supposed to be presenting him and showing him by our lives who Jesus really is. And so when God has appointed, this is gifts from God. This is gift, men and women, gifts of God to the church. And when he has placed them in the place of authority that they are in, then we need to follow them just as much as we need to follow Jesus. As long as they're not going off the false track or something, we need to be following them. And I think that's something that's very important for us to do. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man. We're still all growing. We're going to be continuing to grow until that day when we are changed and the rapture takes place and we're out of here. Then we will be grown up completely. But in the meanwhile, we're growing. It's a never-ending thing. We're always going to be growing until that day. And even after then, I believe we're going to be growing. Because we're going to be learning more and more about God, which we'll learn for eternity and still not know all about Him. Hallelujah. How marvelous, how mighty He is. So God gave us these gifts of men to equip us to do the job. And He's not just giving suggestions of what we can do. Well, I think it would be kind of good, you know, if you were to go out and visit this person here. I think it would be kind of good if you get on the phone and call this one or something. It's not a suggestion. He's asking us to do something. And if we don't follow Him, then we're not going to grow either, and we will be in trouble with God's purposes to reach a lost world. Because God's ultimate design and purpose is to reach the world. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Jesus died for all the world, not just a few saints that are here. He died for all the world. And so there's a whole world out there, a lot of people out there in the world that don't have the message, that don't have the information that we do, that don't have the knowledge that we do. And some of them really don't care. They're not interested in it. That's fine. But they need to be given the chance. They need to be given the opportunity. They need to see Jesus in our lives. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you something. If we don't follow after our shepherd, we're putting ourselves in a position, it's kind of like, okay, here's the flock. We're a flock of sheep. What does the shepherd do? He takes care of his flock. He takes care of his flock. He leads the flock out to do something or to accomplish something, to eat here or to drink here, whatever. He's leading his flock. He's leading them. And the safest place to be is right in the center of what God's doing. Right in the center. Not on the outskirts out here. No, God is doing something over here. Well, I'm over here. And I think we ought to do this. But that's not where the shepherd is. The shepherd's over here. And we need to be with the shepherd. We need to be with the shepherd. If He's calling us to do something, then we need to be with the shepherd. And the safest place for us to be. You know, we're getting into a place here where if we hold true to the Word of God, we could end up in jail. Because they don't like the message that's coming out of here. It goes against every principle, everything that is filthy and rotten and scumbag out there. It goes against all of that stuff. And so the safest place is to be right where Jesus is. That's the safest place. And if we will not follow our shepherd, then we're disobedient to God also and not walking with Him either, and we'll be in danger. But we grow as we internalize the Word and as we come to know His voice and learn to walk with Him. Mark 16:20 says, "And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word through the accompanying signs." Amen. So as they were going out, they weren't just going wherever they want. No, they were going and the Lord was working with them. God was leading them. God was guiding them. He was taking them to places, and they wherever they went, then God was with them. And He was confirming the word with signs following. You know, the enemy has been hard at work for a long time trying to keep God hidden away from the world. He's used effective strategies to take God out of our schools. You can't pray in school. You can't read a Bible in school. You can't get together with other Christians in the school. And in many other ways, in other parts of our world out there, God has been taken out of the equation. To where we have got a generation out there of people that don't know God. Don't know anything about God. Some of them have never even read a Bible. They don't know what's in it. Some of them are out in la-la land. You watch some of the TV deals where they interview some of these people on the streets, and they're out in some kind of la-la land. It don't even make sense. Where in the world are these people at? Where are you living at? They don't know anything. You could get a fifth grader and know more than a college student comes out of some of those schools. They have more sense. So since Jesus, who is God's revelation of himself, is back in heaven, how can he reveal himself to the world today? Through his church. Through his church. And he is the head of it. That's the beautiful thing. He's the head of it. He didn't just send this out there, okay, go do your thing here now and tell them about me and stuff. No, he's the head of it. He's the one that directs us. He's the one that leads us. He's the one that guides us. Remember when Jesus walked on the earth, what did he do? He did the things he saw his Father doing. He spoke the things he heard his Father speaking. That's what he did. And I believe that as we need to be in a place with God where we can see what he's doing and we can hear what he's saying and speak out what he's saying, and it will be powerful and we'll be revealing the kingdom of heaven to those around about us. Won't be a lot of useless words. You can see the useless words in Matthew chapter 7, verse 20. Verse 22. It said, many will say in that day, Lord, Lord, who can make it into the kingdom of heaven? And they'll say, we did this, we did that, we did all these things, we prophesied in your name, we healed the sick, we did all those things. And Jesus will say, depart from me, I never knew you. You were not walking with me. I don't even know who you are because you're not walking with me. If you'd have been walking with me, then we'd have been doing stuff together and we'd been accomplished something. It's like building a house. You don't get a house and you start having the framers come in before you pour the foundation. Now, there's a thing that comes in order. Everything's in order. And God is here working something here now. That's what we need to be doing. Not something over here. How can you hang wiring on a wall yet that isn't even put up? There's no framing there yet. No, it's in order. And God is leading us. Jesus is leading us in this. And we need to be with Jesus. Whatever Jesus is doing, that's where we need. Whatever God is doing, that's where we need to be. Hallelujah. So he's the head of the church. Jesus was the exact representation of God to the world. So we are to continue that task. In John 20, verse 21. So Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. We have a divine order and directive from the King of Kings and Lord of Lords himself. The same power that Christ had is available to us. And he was sent out to do the very same thing. Well, if Jesus needed to hear from the Father and know what he was supposed to do, how much more do we need to hear from the Father to know what we're supposed to do? 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. A mirror here, they're talking about, is a symbol of the Word of God. And you can look in James chapter 1, verses 22 to 25. But be doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. See, it's not just the thing about coming to church and hear, oh, Pastor, that was a good message, you know, and then we don't do anything with it. We don't do anything with it. Well, what did he get up there and speak for? What do you think God gave him a message for? It's a great message, and we walk out the door and forget all about it. don't do anything about it. What good is that? What good is it? What did that benefit me any? Is it benefiting the world out there any if we're not obeying and walking and doing what we've been asked to do? But we're beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord and are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. Hallelujah. But anyway, in James there talks about we're to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Deceiving ourselves. Deceiving ourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. And if he observes himself, goes astray and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, and this one will be blessed in what he does. See, like me, looking in the mirror, maybe I'm going to shave. So I get shaved around here, you know, and I miss a spot here. Well, the mirror shows that up. But then I walk away and forget all about it. So I'm walking around out in the whole world with this gob of stuff sticking out over here that I haven't shaved off. No, we're supposed to be looking into the mirror is like the Word of God. And the Word of God reveals the truth about us. Because the Word of God is true and perfect. And when we look in there, and if we're not lining up with this, then we need to, we got to do something here. We got to get lined up with what the Word says. It's like a mirror. So we are to use the Word, and we are to obey it and come into alignment with it and start walking it. Hallelujah. As we look into God's Word and see God's Son, the Spirit transforms us into the very image of God. Because we're seeing, you see, Jesus is the Word. He's the living Word. So when we look in the Word and we see Jesus and we begin to understand some things about ourselves, where we fit in this and what we look like in comparison, then we need to be doing something about it. And as we see this, see ourselves in the Word, and make those adjustments that we need to make, then we become more like Jesus. We become more like Christ. Hallelujah. And the Spirit transforms us into the very image of God. Now, we were created in the image of God. But look what happened to sin and all that kind of stuff. But now, he's bringing us back to this, and we become more and more like Jesus. We're becoming more like the image of God. We are really showing the world out there how God is and how he acts. But what is very important, however, is that we hide nothing from God. We must be open and honest with him and not wear a veil. Now, when Moses went into the presence of God, he came out, his face was shining and everything, and he put a veil over his face because it frightened the children of Israel. But we don't put a veil over our face. When we get into the presence of God and everything, this presence of God needs to radiate out of us. Hallelujah. The world needs to see that. There's a lot of people out there in the world who don't believe in God. They don't have a clue about God. And they don't know him at all. And they need to see something that's real. And they're looking for something that's real. And the Spirit transforms us into the very image of God. And we need to be open and honest. If there's a problem there, we need to take care of it. Sin? Go back to 1 John. It talks about if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to forgive us from all iniquity. Bring us, hallelujah. So this word translated change or transform is the same word translated transfigured in the accounts of our Lord's transfiguration. Remember when he went up on the mountain and he was transfigured, he became bright as light. Hallelujah, to where you couldn't even look on him hardly. He was transfigured. And that's the word that's given here, changed or transformed. The English word metamorphosis is a transliteration of this Greek word, and metamorphosis describes the process that changes an insect from a larva to a pupa and then into a mature insect. And the changes come from within. It's not some outside deal that comes and brings about the change. No, it changes from within. And that's why it's important to give this process some time. We need to allow the Holy Spirit. We need to bring the Word into our lives and into our beings. But we need to give some time to do this. He doesn't do this just boom like that, and all of a sudden you have a butterfly. It doesn't happen like that. There's a period of time. There's a process that goes on. And there's a process that happens in our lives too. As we feed on the Word and as we hear the Word preached and as we listen to the Word and obey it and walk it out, it brings about a change, but it doesn't happen just like that. It's a metamorphosis. And it comes from within. I like that. We've had religion that tries to press you into a mold from the outside. Oh, we can't steal, we can't do that. So if we do these things here, well, then we're okay. But nothing's changed down inside. It's all external. And this is something that happens internally because we have Christ within us. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And maturity takes time and it's a process that we go through. And I think that's why it's important that we give this process some time and not prejudge an individual. And I love what some people, I've seen it, in the Spirit, recognize what that individual will become with God's grace and not confuse it with something that's there right now that we see. Did any of us just all of a sudden, boom, and we were perfect? No. Not going to happen. You weren't born from your mother's womb, and all of a sudden, boom, you're an adult. Doesn't happen. It's a process. We grow. Hallelujah. We grow. So the Spirit transforms us into this image. And this image, this change comes from the inside. Moses reflected on the glory of God, but you and I may radiate the glory of God. He reflected the glory of God, but we radiate it. He reflected it, but we radiate it. Why? Because He's within us. He's within us. When we meditate on God's Word and in it see God's Son, then the Spirit transforms us. We become more like the Lord Jesus Christ as we grow from glory to glory. Hallelujah. It's a process. It's like a building process. You know, stone upon stone, line upon line, precept upon precept. You know, it's a growing process. Hallelujah. And then 2 Corinthians 4:1, it says, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. Therefore, seeing that we have this kind of ministry, is a literal translation of what Paul wrote. What ministry? The kind described in the previous chapter, a glorious ministry that brings men's life, salvation, and righteousness, that brings men life, salvation, and righteousness, a ministry that is able to transform men's lives. And this ministry is a gift. We receive it from God. It's given to us because of God's mercy, not because of anything we are or what we've done. Hallelujah. So all of us have a ministry. You have certain giftings that God wants to use in the kingdom. He wants to use out there in the world, certain giftings. All of us have got a different gifting. And God wants to use those gifts to reveal Himself to the world and to edify and build up those that know Him. And He wants to transform people's lives. Hallelujah. It's a gift that he gives you. It's a gift that he gives you. And it's not because you have the ability to do it, necessarily because he gives you the power to do it. He gives you the power to do it. To come back to our earlier question about why the world doesn't seem to get it concerning God. Why don't the world get it? How come? God created the world. How come they don't get that? Consider what Paul said to the Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 to 6. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 to 6. But if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So who's blinded the minds? World out there? Satan has. The God of this world has blinded the minds so that they can't see God. 2 Corinthians 5:17-21. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us a word of reconciliation. Verse 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Because all things have become new, we also have a new view of people around about us. We don't look about them as just our friends or our relatives or enemies or co-workers or customers. We look upon them as sinners for whom Christ died. Sinners for Christ, whose Christ died. As a lost sheep who needs a shepherd. When you are constrained by the love of Christ, you want to share his love with others. When you're constrained by the love of Christ, you want to share that love with others. Because of his rebellion, man was the enemy of God. And out of fellowship with him, and through the work of the cross, Jesus Christ has brought man and God together again. God has been reconciled and has turned his face in love toward a lost world. See, there was sin that was separating that before. But when the sin issue was taken care of, we have been reconciled to God through Christ, through his work on the cross. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf. Be reconciled to God. All things have become new, and we have a new view of people. When you are constrained by the love of Christ, you want to share his love with others. But because of his rebellion, man was the enemy of God and out of fellowship with him. Through the cross, Jesus Christ has brought man and God together. Get this. God has been reconciled and turned his face in love toward the lost world. God has been reconciled and has turned his face in love to the lost world. The basic meaning of the word reconcile is to change thoroughly. To change thoroughly. It refers to a changed relationship between God and the lost world. A relationship that wasn't there because of sin before. And when the sin issue was taken care of, it brought about a change in that relationship between God and the lost world. So God does not have to be reconciled to man. That's been done through the cross. It's sinful man who needs to be reconciled to God. Religion is man's feeble attempt to be reconciled to God, and efforts that are bound to fail. They won't make it. They won't produce any kind of comfort whatsoever. The person who reconciles us to God is Jesus Christ, and the place where He reconciles us is His cross. Reconciliation is based on imputation, because the demands of God's holy law have been fully met on the cross. God can be reconciled to sinners. Those who believe on Jesus Christ as their Savior will never have their sins imputed against them again. They're taken care of. They're dealt with. They're hidden away, never to be remembered again. As far as the records are concerned, they share the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Another key idea in this section is imputation. It's a word borrowed from banking. It simply means to put to one's account. When you deposit money in the bank, the computer, or the clerk puts that amount to your account, to your credit. It's there. It's in the bank. It's waiting for you. So you can write a check on it at any time, or you can draw money out. When Jesus died on the cross, all of our sins were imputed to Him. Think about that. All of our sins were imputed to Jesus Christ, put to His account. And He was treated by God as though He had actually committed those sins. Wow. He was treated by God as though He had actually committed those sins. The result, all of those sins have been paid for and God no longer holds them against us because we have trusted Christ as our Savior. And even more, God has put to our account the very righteousness of Christ. For He has made Him, Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Question, how do we measure up to our task? Are we revealing a true picture or an example of God to the world? An ambassador represents the country or king before the part of the world that he has been sent. They do not represent their own ideas or values, but the values of their king. Are we helping to bring about a reconciliation of the world back to God? That's the question. What a tremendous message of hope and peace we can bring to the world around about us. What does our ambassadorship look like? What is our ambassadorship look like? Well, here's some things that we've learned so far. First of all, God doesn't need us. He's eternally and totally self-sufficient, needs nothing more than Himself in order to exist and to act. In spite of that information, we can be greatly encouraged by the fact that God desired to create mankind in His image for the cheap purpose of a love relationship with us. The fact of God so loving the world that He was willing to send His only begotten Son to pay for the penalty of man's grievous sin against Himself speaks of a love that can only originate in Him and truly gives us a hope and a future. And to turn down such a gift will bring a horrendous penalty upon the individual for eternity. You think about what God has done for us. How Christ was made to suffer because my sin put Him there. And God treated Him like that sin. And He had to pay the penalty for it. And to reject that gift that He's given to us, we deserve everything bad that would ever happen to us. There's a place. To turn down such a gift would bring a horrendous penalty upon that individual for eternity. It'd be like a slap on the face of God, who subjected His only begotten Son to a terrible punishment against sin so that we could be in right standing with God. The lake of fire is provided for the devil and his angel, and everyone else who spurns this offer. If you spurn this offer, it's there. You choose to go there. You choose to go there. If you don't choose God and follow after Him, then you choose to go to the lake fire. It's your choice. We can praise God for the revelation of Himself in the person of Jesus Christ. And we can rejoice in being able to have a personal relationship with the very God who created us in His image. He is for us, and the whole God has involved in our salvation and our walk in this world. He has provided everything that we have need of, and now we can continue the task to represent and model God to the world about us by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's how it has to be. It's not our own power, not our own ability. But as we internalize the Word, as we take the living Word and internalize Him, get Him down in here, we become, as we read the Word, as we see ourselves in the Word, we become transformed, transfigured into the very image of Christ. Hallelujah. And we become someone that the world can see. Oh, these people are different. I want to know what these people. This is interesting. Hallelujah. Father, I thank You for Your Word. And I pray, Lord, that You will move upon our hearts. Help us, Lord, to be obedient to You. Help us, Lord, to realize that God has given people gifts to this church. People gifts to Your church. To help us, prepare us for works of ministry. And to prepare us to do the thing that You want done in this world. So I pray, Lord, that You'll help us, Lord, to be obedient and Lord, to walk in Your plan and Your purpose. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit is speaking to us. And I pray, God, that You will help us to take that Word, Lord, and to walk it out, to be obedient, to obey it. Lord, I just pray that You'd move upon Your people tonight. Lord, we desire to serve You. We desire to walk with You. Lord, we desire to have You be our head. You are the head of all things to the church. And Lord, we belong to You. And so I pray, Holy Spirit, that You would take us and make us more like Jesus, day by day by day. Lord, help us to go through that process. Help us, Lord, to be ready. Help us, Lord, to be obedient and walk with You, Lord, and to grow more and more like You. I pray that You'd have Your way, Lord, in this church. And help us, Lord, to be a true picture of what Jesus is like to the world around about us. Just have Your way, I pray. And Lord, I pray that You give us favor with those out there. I pray that You give us favor, God, with our community. Favor with the leaders, Lord, in our city. Favor with the people in the agencies and government agencies, Lord. And I just pray that Your will would be done. We commit ourselves to You. And I thank You, Lord, for the privilege, Lord, of knowing You and walking with You. Help us all to become more like You. In Jesus' name, amen.